Feed me more.
May you rest in peace.
Awesome!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hulkamania is running wild!
Yeah. I said give me a hell yeah!
Shooting blanks, wrestling report!
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy, Ryback, joined once again by Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc., WrestlingInc.com. What's going on?
Not much. Just playing coronavirus. It's like a video game where you don't want to, you know, you're trying to avoid getting touched by the flame. And you know.
We should have a mask on for the show.
Right, exactly.
I got my bioaccelerator sent me a mask. I should have it on.
Yeah, my wife's a physical therapist, and she's not going in right now, but they still send her like 100 masks.
So. Oh, really?
Cool.
I'm very self-conscious with the mask because they pull my ears out a little bit, and they make me look a little bit like a, what's the Star Wars Yoda? The little ears?
Yeah, me and my cheeks puff up. I look huge.
Very self-conscious of that. I had issues with my ears when I was a kid, so it's bringing back horrible memories.
Exactly. We're now in May. April was the first full month of empty lists, no crowd wrestling shows, and you're seeing the ratings drop across the board. All the shows are doing, you know, their record lows, and that happened again this past week. Raw drew its lowest rating ever. SmackDown, AEW and NXT are near their lows. AEW was down last week, as was NXT, but you know, they're around their low ratings. So we'll have to see if these guys are losing their audiences for good, if a good chunk of the audience is gone, or if they'll come back once the crowds are back. But this past week, Dynamite, it drew 693 viewers, beating 693,000 viewers, beating the 637,000 viewers garnered by NXT. So Dynamite wins again. It's one, I think they've only lost 5 weeks so far, or tied or lost 5 weeks. So good, you know, it's good that they beat NXT, but they are actually down the most percentage wise in total viewers from before coronavirus to after.
Yeah. And again, the talent on both sides, the talent are doing a phenomenal job going out there, and they're working. They're doing it. It's not easy. And I think the talent has adjusted well with this, I think. And coming in through developmental and everybody in working, usually when you're training, you have a lot of, usually by the time you get to TV, you have a lot of experience of wrestling in front of very little crowds or no crowds and just training and doing matches, which are typically the toughest, because to create an emotion that's, and an energy that's not there is a very difficult thing to do. People being at home, you would think though, you have more people sitting at home now than ever. And there's no excuse, like the competition. What there's not, like it should be, you should be seeing, if this was truly something that people wanted to watch, the numbers would be higher than normal because there's more people at home. That's not the case. And again, though, I think they're not the companies, both sides, they're all, every company running, I think they probably assume that once crowds are back, that the business will see a little bit of a pickup again. And I don't know. I would think it would, because I think there's a lot of people, like I don't watch it nearly as much now. I'm just not interested. But I will say, and I did watch a good portion of AEW. I really, really think they have come so far, just in the production value, in improving things. And I'm looking at the guys and the talent, and it's one of those things, the more you see them on TV, their value starts to increase over time. And I think that it's slowly starting to happen with the guys. And I like them. They got, you know, having Archer there and Wardlow. I think they put some good pieces in Brody Lee in there. That these guys, if there was a crowd there, I think it would be even better, specifically for those guys. And having Colt Cabana there, I think, is a good pickup. I like the direction of AEW that they're going, and I think they get a few more pieces, like I said, just over time. I don't know. Even the thing with like Jericho and the Bubbly Bunch, and just the creative aspect, right. What we talked about, just doing promos at home, I feel like they were giving us some more entertainment in a creative way. And I, you know, I don't know. The more I'm looking at it, it's, I feel like they're with Cody, Tony, and the group they have, like the power being hungry is a very real thing. They're so much hungrier than WWE. Like Hunter is very complacent, I feel like, from a financial standpoint, and from just he's done in the business and the things that with Vince, and he kind of just married into it, and he's worked really hard and done great things, but he's never like, I don't know. It's just like, this is Tony Khan's, like his money on the line. You know, you're just going to be a little more driven, a little more passionate behind it. Cody driven because of his father, his history with the company goes deep. Connection to WCW. The more I'm watching them and seeing how they're taking pieces of WCW, which I love them doing that, but not being WCW, it's a very, very good thing. And I think once the crowds are back, I think things are going to continue to go in the favor of AEW if they keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah. I got to admit, you know, with these empty list arena shows, you need the help anywhere you can get it. And AEW, they are trying everything by putting Jericho on commentary, and you love see it. The effort. Whereas WWE, my main criticism with them is they're trying to do the same show they always do, the same commentary team. They're not mixing it up. You're not seeing them trying really different things. It's a lot of the same. So
I will tell you, Jericho on commentary, and I said it before, it's worth the price of admission alone.
Absolutely.
And he's, I can't tell you, Raj, how many times I'm sitting and I'm working, I'm doing my things, and I had the sound up for the show. Usually I'll put a book on and keep the sound down a lot of times. But since Chris has been on camp commentary, I'm not listening to a book. I go, holy shit. Like, I'm actually invested in listening because he pops me and I laugh throughout. I was walking into the kitchen to go get something and he just said something random and I don't know what. I just stopped and laughed hysterically. Right. He's absurd. He plays that character so great. Right. But he knows how to do it. It's good stuff, man. The fact that they're trying, that's enough to make, and for me, I don't like watching the empty arena shows where it made it more enjoyable for me. So, and as watching as a fan, so it's working.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me of like Lawler back in his prime, or Jesse the Body Ventura, or Bobby the Brain Heenan, where it could be a boring match, but they were so entertaining that you didn't notice.
Yeah, he's just, I can't remember, he said something, I think it was the Wardlow match, but he just said something about like a muscle something. I don't know, it's just the way he just, it was good stuff. He said something about like Muscle Magazine, but it's just like, it was, he said it in a weird way, and I just like, holy shit, that's good.
There was a line, I don't know if you caught it, where he talked about Cody beating a young, I want to say his name is Austin Woods. It's basically Xavier Woods' real name.
Okay.
He said he beat him in wrestling in college, I mean, in high school, which is true. Like they had wrestled in high school and Cody Rhodes beat Xavier Woods. But just dropping references like that, and it was good stuff.
Just very, very humorous, and he's great on the fly. It comes off like it's on the fly. Maybe he's well prepared. It's fantastic either way. Yeah. And I think that's what Bubba Ray Dudley was talking about putting people on commentary on WWE's side, is because you need something to kind of keep your attention, to not remind you that you're watching an empty arena wrestling match.
Yeah, I would love for WWE to bring back Jesse for a little bit. Did you see that he's thinking about running for president?
I did. I started following him on Twitter, and I mean, we'll see what happens.
We had interviewed him on Wrestling Inc. A few years ago, and he knows his stuff. He's a really smart guy. You don't become governor, you know, not knowing your stuff, but we'll see.
No, he's extremely intelligent, which is, I think, a lot of people have that stigma, and I've dealt with it, where they think like pro wrestlers aren't capable of being highly intelligent human beings. And it's not to say that it's not always the case, but Jesse's very well informed. I feel it would be great to talk to him eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Samoa Joe was brought back to Raw and joined the commentary team. So Jerry Lawler was out, but they still use Jerry Lawler as an interviewer for a segment later in the show. But Samoa Joe is back for now. Not sure if he's going to stay in the commentary role for a bit, or this is just a way to ease him in until he's cleared for action.
He's been back now multiple times with this. And I think the consensus is he's fantastic on commentary. And I think he adds value to the commentary team. there's always stuff going on, even in us, and you never know what's truly going on with it, how bad it is. He's had a long career, we've talked about, and he's gone hard. He's put a lot of miles on the body. And when those concussions start happening, I mean, we've seen it. Look how long Daniel Bryan was out of out. I mean,
right.
It's so this is can the if they have any suspicion or inkling that you could be in a bad way, not that they, from a company standpoint, care about you. They've proven that they don't, but they will protect themselves and in turn protect you. And which is, it is what it is. And we'll just have to see. I mean, he could. I'm happy if he collects a paycheck and he's happy and he can stay healthy. I think you got to look at the big picture and, you know, maybe down the line, if there's an opportunity to try it again, I think he definitely still has a lot of unfinished business in the WWE from a physical standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely very talented, but it does seem like his body has kind of been turning on him lately. Jinder Mahal also returned. WWE was, they were really pushing on commentary that he was a former world champion, and they had stopped mentioning that the last time he was on TV, and he was basically enhancement talent towards the end. And so it looks like they're going to be giving him a big push, and I'm guessing they're moving him into a feud with Drew based on their history with both being in 3MB.
Yeah, that could be one of those things when you leave TV for a bit, and he was off, I think, for like 9 or 10 months for a pretty significant period of time. They just assume that everyone forgets everything. And so this is one of those things. I don't think Jinder's in the circle. I don't think he ever was in the circle. I think that he served a purpose for them by putting the title on him for whatever the whole, the rumors of that whole thing with India, whatever the reason was. And then he was in that for a period of time. And you see the guys that are in the circle will stay booked really well after they're, you know, he wasn't. And it was relegated back to no entrance, which is the worst thing for any wrestler. When you're getting put out there with no entrance, that's
right.
Shit's not good. I don't care what anyone's, it's not good. And this is kind of a way I think he'll be used for a matchup for Drew, and where it's not going, they're going to make Jinder look like he was this former champion, build him up, and to serve the purpose of getting a one-off probably with Drew. My personal opinion, I hope it's more for him. And but just based on how they have used him throughout, he's never been in the circle.
Yeah. Also this week, the releases continued. Curtis Axel was released, someone you're very familiar with. I totally forgot that he's actually been, you know, involved with WWE and the developmental system since 2007. He's been there a long time. So 13 years, and yeah, he was released this week.
Yeah, that I sent him a voice message yesterday, and I'm sure hopefully hear back from him soon. I'd like to get him on the show, just not even talk, just bullshit stories. We had a lot of good times.
Yeah.
That one, I saw that. I was actually recording the show yesterday, and I got on my, checked my phone after and saw the tweets with tagged with stuff with him. I go, no, man. And then looked and saw he'd been released. And in one way, I'm very happy for him because I feel like he was never going to be allowed to be himself or to do anything significant there. In the other hand, though, I know he has a wife and kids, and I know them, and it's when you have a steady paycheck coming in for years, and then that all of a sudden is not going to be there anymore in this times of uncertainty, it makes me a little bit upset that he got released within like the other guys like Heath that I personally am invested in and know. I just think it's horrible timing with everything, but hopefully all this is easing up. I think, and I truly mean this, like with Heath and him, Joe, if he could be Joe Henning, I think AEW can get some great, great stuff out of him. And I think he could add to that roster in one way or another. We've seen at WWE, if you look at a lot of our like backstage stuff, I thought me and him had great chemistry together. And I wish we could have had TV stuff because it would have been a lot better. It was a lot for .com and things. And it was a lot of what was going on with me and with during that period. And it was what it was. But even you saw like the B-team stuff, like they got that over to a degree. Not saying they're going to be main event stuff with it, but the crowd, the music was catchy. The people were with it. And you saw that they're him and Bo, they're just victims of no matter what they do. If they even get if it's supposed to be a low mid card act and they get it over, you'd see though they pulled him off TV again and like they leave him off TV and they just that they did that all the time. And I don't understand. They do it to Bo and to him, and it's just crazy that whole system. And like even Bo and Bray being brothers, how different it's been for both of them.
Right. And
Bo was actually the one used better in developmental.
Right. He was the NXT champion.
Yeah. And then like in it in I can't figure it out, but Curtis Axel, there's always been something, and I don't believe it's with Curtis. I honestly believe there's something, and I've said it before with his dad, Mr. Perfect, with either Hunter or Vince, and them not something not sitting well with them. And Curtis is always, and not to say they hate Curtis or anything, but we've seen it with Vince where they will just toy with people for their whole life with that over something that had nothing to personally do with him. And because there's nothing else to me that explains the kind of how he's been used and undervalued and underpaid for his entire time there. And I get mad because I wish guys like him got the big paydays at some point because they gave so much to so many guys in that company. And he's like Heath. He's so selfless, man. Really, like he'll go out there and make you look like $1 million. And I've wrestled him at various points. And after we split up and stuff, and he knew he was like, this is for you, big guy. And like he's just, yeah, we're friends, but he's not trying to go out there and get himself over because he knows what's being asked of him. So that makes me mad when guys like that aren't kept around from that standpoint and rewarded because I don't know. I just, I'm personally invested in it, so it bothers me more than others with that. And he's a great guy. I think I would love for him to go to AEW, though.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
WWE also released Cain Velasquez. You know, Cain Velasquez was obviously on a bigger money deal. Former UFC heavyweight champion, he defeated Brock Lesnar to win his first UFC title. He was signed last October to a multi-year contract and had the one match with Lesnar and really wasn't used again. He's had, you know, knee issues and things like that, but he was expected to be in the Royal Rumble, never was, and never really appeared on TV after that.
Yeah, that one was one. He'd been out of the picture. I think they got what they wanted out of him. I think they were going to be, if they got two of it with him and Brock, that probably would have been their ideal circumstance or ideal thing that they would have wanted with that. They had Brock avenge the UFC loss with that and with his injuries, and he's one of the greatest MMA heavyweights of all time. I mean, in his prime, the guy was just an absolute beast. He still is. It's just so hard to start something new at this stage of the game, and not to say that he can't, and because he already has had some success with it. It's just that schedule too. You know, maybe a place like AEW would be the more fitting place for him, or Impact Wrestling. Maybe Impact's the way to go for a bit and to see if he can stay healthy, how his body is. I don't know. It's just wrestling is so physically hard on the body.
Yeah.
That once your body's already in a state where you've had some, you know, significant injuries like that, unless like with surgeries, like he's had back surgery, whereas I've done stem cells and regrown my disc, my back is all better. I haven't had fusions or anything like that. If I had, I wouldn't be the same. And I know that. And that's why I avoided that. So it's just, I don't know. Horrible situation. I think he can add value somewhere though.
Definitely. Yeah. I think value. Yeah. Especially if you give him a manager, because he's, he's not the most charismatic guy, but if you got him someone like a Paul Heyman or, you know, someone where, you know, do the talking for him and have him be the heavy and, you know, keep him dominant and, you know, his matches short, you know, I think you could have something there.
And I'll just say, this is just random armchair booking, but you take a guy like that and where he's new to the wrestling world, it's very hard. You know, I even saw it with Ronda, and it's great. Ronda did a good job over time. It takes so many years, and most people still never get comfortable to just be able to let yourself go and to be completely just in character and not worry, don't care about anything. It's not an easy thing to do. A guy like Kane, you take the guy, the guys LAX, the guys in Jericho's inner circle, very entertaining guys, and you say, and you did something where they broke off from that and went with Kane and put a trio together. I think that would help bring out a lot of character in Kane with guys like that. And like just stuff like that, that's random armchair booking, but in hand, putting people around him to help ease that pressure of where the camera's just on you. And like, they did it with putting Ray with him, but like, Ray's not also the most charismatic. Oh, he's worn a mask his entire career, and Ray can give great promos and heartfelt promos, but he's not necessarily a humorous character, somebody that jokes around a lot in character. So where I don't think that maybe that couldn't have brought out the best in Kane, but if you put the right people around him or the right manager, definitely, definitely see tremendous value.
Yeah. Also, Gerald Briscoe was furloughed. It was revealed this past week. I'm not sure if it happened the week before when they did all the firings and furloughs. But Briscoe had been with WWE/WWF since 1984, so a long time. He had been working as a scout. But, you know, again, he's furloughed, so he could be brought back when things change.
Which I'm hoping is the case. He's done so much for WWE and for Vince. I mean, he's one of those guys, but we've seen Vince cut ties with guys that have been a part of that from the beginning with him, you know, of building all of this. I came up with Wes Briscoe, his son, in developmental, and always a great guy. And Jerry was always so fantastic with me. I mean, he came up to me in when I was in FCW as Ryback, the Terminator character. And I'd had a match, and I was new back to being back in the system, and got brought back. And I never got a lot of positive reinforcement from anyone there was positive reinforcement, but like as far as anyone from the office, and he was still in a position there at the time. And he just said, "You're going to be a major star in this company." And he goes, "I could see you beating the Undertaker streak." This was when Undertaker, dead serious. And I remember thinking, like, holy shit, like, he sees something in me. That was, and I'll never forget that with him. And he's never bullshitted me on just anything. He's always just been, like, he's a straight shooter. If you suck, he'll tell you suck. He's a badass. And I remember thinking, like, fuck, okay, that was like, gave me a real confidence boost at the time. So I've always, man, the guy's always just treated me good. But I hope he gets brought back with all this and continues to get a paycheck till the day that he moves on.
Yeah, kind of a random question here, but you mentioned the Undertaker streak and how he had, you know, seen you as someone possibly ending it. Do you think the Undertaker ending it to Brock was the right decision?
Based off of how Brock has been used since in such a key part of the company, I think that it enhances Brock's legacy in the world of WWE. It's someone, ideally, you would maybe want it to be someone on the rise already. It could have really, really boosted someone else. I don't know. I think Brock's done so well with it. And Brock is also one of those, from WWE standpoint, they're very careful on who they want, how big they want people to get. Brock is already established. He was at the level that he was going to get and gets the money there. Keep it in the family, so to speak. So it's Brock's already the guy, and Brock's not going to go do movies. They're not worried about that with him as much. So maybe from that standpoint, and it's their business. They thought that was the right call. And I think based on Brock's legacy and his dominance from his beginning to now in WWE, I have no problem with it. I think it's, and also you're afraid if maybe you do it with a new guy or somebody that there could be backlash from the fans where that guy will never fully ever be accepted also. Whereas Brock was already, it's Brock. You know what right. I mean? Former UFC heavyweight champion. There's really nothing you could say, you know, other than you'd like to see Undertaker stay undefeated, but nothing lasts forever. It's I think people now, enough time has gone by. It's over with. We'll never see that probably ever again.
Right. I know, as just watching as an outsider, the Undertaker streak, his WrestleMania matches were losing a lot of intrigue because you just figured he was going to win every year. And, you know, I feel like there was so much value in that streak ending. And at some point you had to transfer it to someone. Otherwise, it's kind of a waste. And Brock, you know, I think that was the right guy. He was, as weird as it sounds, he was almost floundering a little bit before that because they had him lose his first match to Cena. He lost to Triple H at the Mania before. So,
yeah. And I will say, I remember sitting in catering. I think it might have been me and Dolph, if I'm not mistaken. And nobody knew what was going on. And I just remember it was a huge catering. We were up front in the TV. Everybody just stopped on the 1, 2, 3 and like looked at each other in there. Everyone just like, wait, how did this happen? So, I mean, you look at the shots they got from the crowd. It served its purpose. It had to happen eventually, so it was...
Yeah, it's one of those when you give star ratings or whatever to matches, but that, to me, is a 5-star because that finish and how it shocked people, and people will never forget it, you know? And that's what wrestling's supposed to be, in my opinion.
Wrestling is about... It's like the Rock Hogan match. It's that fan interaction. That match will always be number one to me with that because of the... You can't... It brings out emotion.
Right.
It's not. That just goes to show you. Now, if you could do that and have some cool stuff in there, even better. But that's the point of pro wrestling, is to elicit the emotion and the reactions and the genuine that feeling like when you're watching a movie. And I always use Terminator because I fucking love Arnold. But when he's going down in that fucking lava and T2 with the thumbs up, it's a fucking emotional scene.
Right.
Though, because you're so invested. That's pro wrestling right there. If you can get that feeling, that movie feeling. You fucking won, and that to me is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
Nah, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I mentioned the ratings earlier. Raw Monday night did its lowest rating ever with 1.817 million viewers on USA. It started with 1.9 the first hour, 1.88, basically 1.9 the second, and then dropped to 1.6 million in the third. So that's the lowest rated third hour. The contract signing segment that ended the show is the lowest rated quarter hour in Raw history. So other shows are up. Wrestling is down across the board. And by other shows, I mean, you know, network shows and things like that.
People are at home watching TV. People are on their phones more. The crowd is extremely important. The energy, Raj, it's what makes pro wrestling. It's what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's that interaction with the people and that energy. It's with that not there, it's not the same, which... You know, it's not the talent's fault. You can only do what you're asked to go out and do. So, and I think they've done a great job, but people aren't interested as a whole. We'll have to see how it bounces back when everything's back to normal or
you know, Vince, normal is. Right. And Vince had said, like, Raw ratings are down because of the new talent, but he said SmackDown had been the same, which is not the case. SmackDown has also been down quite a bit. Yeah. It dropped to 2 million viewers last week with the Triple H celebration. So you're talking about new talent. This is not the case on SmackDown when half hour was Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Vince at the end. only doing 2 million viewers. It was up against the NFL draft, but still, it was last in the demo and last in total viewers for the night. You know, if it was just a case of the draft, it still would have been number two or number three. It just wouldn't have beaten the draft. But we'll see how if it rebounds. But that was a really bad number for a show focused around Triple H.
And I saw that, and I saw parts of that, and I think, man, they WWE, I think they're so lazy sometimes with their stuff. And I love that whole thing was, I get it, Triple H in the business is great. But awkward is an understatement, I think, with the whole thing. And Vince, like, out, it's just, I'm like, what the fuck is, like, Vince is off. Like, Vince don't look right with me. Like, I don't, something ain't right, man. And I'm sure he's stressed the hell out with everything. But, like, even, like, the package, like, they just show, like, the Hunter, they show that same intro over and over for the 10 moments. I'm like, I shut it off after a bit. And I was like, I can't stand that. Like, man, it's too much. It's like, put some more entertaining content. You don't need to show that little intro clip to kill time. Like, yeah. You're going to draw, you're just like, it's like showing an ad over and over again. You're like, you got it. There's a number there that you want, but you don't want it in too much. And like, they would do one and then, you know, a minute later, do it again.
Right.
And I was just like, man, it's just, it's lazy creative to me on that. And that's just my opinion on it. But
yeah,
it's not good. People aren't tuning in. That's a moment you would want. I wouldn't even do it. Like, I would just wait. And like, do you have a crowd there? It's just wasted.
Yeah. And you mentioned Vince. That was, it was concerning. He's the one, you know, running the largest wrestling company by far in the world. And seeing him out there, it was kind of scary. He was just rambling. I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. It was weird.
No, and I saw too, and I don't know, Dutch Mantel put out the thing that, and who, man. Very intelligent man. I've talked to him quite a bit. Very, very smart, creative human being in the world of pro wrestling and outside of it as well. And mentioning WWE, hearing rumors of them possibly being sold. How true that is, I don't know, but I called that a long time ago and I've said it. And I really, it would not shock me if this goes down at some point. I can see it.
I think what Dutch meant, what he probably misheard was there. WWE has been talking about selling the network.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon talked about it on the last call. And he said, you know, they've been talking with partners about possibly selling. He said this time the network as opposed to just pay-per-views. I don't know. Again, who knows? He might have misspoken. You could see he's been a little off lately. Maybe he did mean just pay-per-views, but he said the network. But I agree with you. I see Vince getting to the point at some, where running this, you know, this company is probably no longer worth it, and it's probably better to sell to a Disney or a Fox. But yeah. I just don't see anyone wanting to put that kind of money in something right now. I mean, Fox or Disney right now with everything that's going on and having to cut all sorts of costs across the board.
I agree. And when you look though too over the amount of CEOs that have stepped down in top positions the last few years, there's a lot of them, especially this last year. There's been a lot. The world is changing and things. Vince is, and I think to say he's done a great job at surrounding himself. He's made that company nothing but respect from a business standpoint on what he's been able to achieve. I don't agree with a lot of the ways he treats people and different things, but from a, and I know just creating my business and watching it grow, holy hell, man, that guy, it's a lifetime of work. And right. So I commend that, but you can only go so high. And I think he hit his high quite a long time ago. And it's, if he's thinking about selling the network, what, no matter what, that is the WWE. And there's going to, in the TV, it's all going to, I don't see him just like, just showing up to TV. And I think if he sells it, I think he sells all of it. Or if he's doing it in, maybe he is doing it in stages where in a lot's going to depend here on what happens when all this kind of calms down. But the fact those discussions are even, he's acknowledged they are going on. I think in having Hunter in his ear and things, it's eventually it has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to. And it's going to happen to one of those companies that are larger than him.
Yeah.
So, and I don't, and with his health and things, seeing him on camera, I'm sure there's, I remember always hearing rumors about his health when I was there. Like doctors leaving to go check on him during TV and rant, like legit, like being, getting taped and the trainer and the doctor getting a call. You got to come see Vince now. Like, yeah, you know, who knows what it could have been, but I, and just knowing and talking to them, his health wasn't always the greatest. And he's definitely older, and he's put a lot of miles on his body with the steroids and things of that nature over the years. And because there's no joke, he's done them his entire adult life. Like, and it's no secret. So that shit, most people around his age, that's when they go on them. So
yeah,
not sooner.
Well, most of the other shows are down. Dark Side of the Ring is up. It aired its show on Dr. D, David Schultz, last week, and it did 255,000 viewers, second biggest audience for that show in history. So they've done really well this season. So while other shows are down, Dark Side of the Ring, they've been up.
Creating just compelling programming. Yeah. And yeah, I got to watch that one. I'd seen the Chris Benoit one, and I thought they did a great job on that. People are clearly interested in that story with Dr. D. And I've seen the clip. I've not seen that though, but I've seen the clip, and it's intense. And with Vince like coming in there, and it's crazy, like seeing footage back from that period of time. And it's just, you know, it was one of those moments. It was a different time. And that was one hell of a slap.
Yeah, right.
Which, I mean, if that happened today, that's
right. Oh man, yeah, he hit him hard twice. I mean,
agree with it, but
Yeah, you watch it. I mean, John Stossel did come across as just you know, really pompous, but hitting someone like that, if you're that dumb, you deserve to be fired. In my opinion, but that guy was being an ass.
And then it's backstage at WWE, and all the talent are back there, and
yeah,
that for that guy to ask that question in that environment is very, very ignorant. And but in it's things back then, and just knowing the wrestling business, he could have been having a bad day even going into that, and that just set him off. And but you can't,
yeah,
can't. I mean, he whacked him. So.
Yeah, and the way he asked it to Stossel, he didn't ask, so is this fake? He said, I think you're a fake, or something.
Personal, kind of.
Yeah, it was really pricky the way he asked it, but anyway.
Yeah.
Last couple things, a couple of quick items. Kevin Dunn sold $1.5 million of company stock this past week. He sold 33,000 shares on Wednesday at $45.46 per share, so the total is $1.5 million. So, yeah, you've been seeing these big top executives in WWE over the years, selling a lot of stock, and WWE is actually getting sued. There has been multiple class action lawsuits, filed. And so obviously they're hoping to all become one big class action lawsuit saying that WWE misled investors, and, you know, stuff about Saudi Arabia, saying that they didn't inform shareholders about everything that was going on with Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, more headaches for WWE on that front.
That's it's not a good thing with the timing of all this, and with Vince, with the XFL, with that lawsuit with Oliver. Was it Oliver Luck? Is that the guy with the other? Yeah. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's stressful times. Whenever you see, and I saw there was another WWE executive that sold some shares as well, which makes you, when they start selling some of their position off with things, and then there's the talk of the selling, and do they have some information that, you know, unload some of their shares because they think the price is possibly going to come down over time. And if there is news of selling, I don't know which way the company goes. You know, because it's never it's hard to. It just all depends on what that news is. So,
right,
yeah.
this is just coming out as we're speaking, but Florida Governor DeSantis, he is saying that he's looking to open Florida up, basically in the next week, start opening it up. They've already started, but allowing buildings to be at 25% capacity by next week. So that would mean AEW and WWE. So they would allow fans to attend the events, but limit occupancy to 25% of capacity.
Wow. No, I mean, eventually, I talked about it here now, knowing the information. We didn't know the information before. You can only go by what you're being told. And now, and I've seen it, the testing coming out, the death rate is very, very small as the testing's becoming more prevalent. It's, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just a guy with an opinion, and just, you can only look at the things. I think we have to get to normal eventually. And I was against, all the other sporting things, protecting the talent, I'm against that wrestling didn't initially. And I've said that, and it bothers me. Just it shows what the wrestling business is compared to everything else. But I do now think, now having this information, okay, we need to get back to start working towards normal again.
Yeah, they really need to start testing asymptomatic people, because most, you're talking about the death rate, it's probably much lower because asymptomatic people aren't being tested. It's only people with symptoms. But once you can start testing asymptomatic people so they know not to get out of the house, if they have it, they stay in, because they're the ones, I think, really spreading it right now, because you don't have any symptoms, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah, so it's, we need to get that. And again, we talked about it. Hospitals here are empty. I have friends, people that their wives have been let go as nurses because the hospitals, nobody's going in there. And they're not overwhelmed with viruses. Not to say that there wasn't a portion at one point in New York, there maybe, based off what we were seeing. Oh, yeah. Again, nobody really, really, I mean, people have clearly died from this. It's not, but people die from things all the time.
We've lucked out that nothing got as bad as New York, because it seemed like what was happening in New York was going to happen everywhere.
Well, and that's luckily, what they wanted us all to believe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, and it, now is that because everyone with social distancing? I don't know. I've seen the grocery stores here, and it's not really, people are just crowded into the stores.
Yeah.
I don't, and there it's, and the stores were packed day after day after day, and all the essential businesses were busy. So people here were out and about still. And
yeah. And everything, when they talk about opening up, it's in phases. So it's not like you're just, you know, all your nightclubs, you're going to be able to go to the club till 2 a.m.
That's closed to the, by the way, Vegas, like till the 15th of June. They're talking about like bars and gyms. And now that could be changed because everything's kind of going week to week here. But they have like a rollout plan in place now where hair salons and certain businesses, like 25%, 50% capacity, and to get businesses going again. And I think you have to, you can't live in fear. People are sitting, I have nothing to gain. I've had my best months ever business wise. I need the business. I'm better than ever. I'm looking at this from a world standpoint. You gotta, and the consequences of what you're punishing people for, something that this is now having this information coming out where test asymptomatic people and protect the elderly and the weak and the people with pre-existing conditions. And let's get back to living life.
You said Vegas is June 15th. Florida, phase one starts Monday, and that includes bars, restaurants, nightclubs, gyms, and fitness centers. So starting Monday, bars, restaurants, nightclubs, and gyms are going to be open, but they operate at 50% of the building capacity. So Florida will be one to keep an eye on, because if they, you know, don't, you know, if they stay under the curve, you know, below the curve, while opening up, that can really lead to everyone opening up
much more. Sooner. I think that's what's so. It's like, okay, let's go, let's see, and everyone's doing it. I think you have to. You just have to. It's not they've shut things down. How many weeks has it been now that this has gone? Has this been about 6 weeks?
It started mid March. More or less.
Yeah, so close to 6 weeks, right around that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give or take maybe a few days, but it's, you can't. We talked off the air. Like, I mean, there's so many people with small businesses that are shut down for good, and they'll never bounce back. Like, they never will. They'll work for people the rest of their lives. And it's and there's people that just, I know I told you, people that message me, I have $100 to my name, and like they have, like they're just nothing.
Yeah,
they have no way. They can't go get. There's no jobs. You're telling people just to sit home, and nobody's those little checks. Those little checks were gone quickly for most people, and nobody's going to be there once everything does start opening. There's not going to be as many jobs available. There's just a lot of problems with this. The longer this goes on, far worse than what we're seeing with these percentages. So,
yeah,
whatever this thing is, I think everyone with a brain sees something slightly off with this.
Right. One last item. You've dealt with trademark issues with WWE in the past. WWE, they're opposing trademarks filed by the Revival. The Revival had filed a trademark no flips, just fists, and say yeah. Cody Rhodes had filed to trademark Slamboree and the match beyond. WWE is opposing those as well. So,
yeah, I don't like it. I don't understand. Like there's just no need for it. There's no need. With the revival, this is the petty stuff. It's like telling me they wanted me to hand over my social media to try to prevent everything. And I've known they've gone to lengths to try to stop stuff. Like it is. And now me with my Ryback trademark, which I could use everywhere, my name, because it's legally my name, but they want the ownership of it and for merchandising. And I got mine in August coming up, which I got to get a hold. I will make one phone call. And I will go through Vince's brother, and I will get one call. I will try to and see if they don't drop it. I will unleash fucking hell on them with some serious shit. Like, and I've held it over them for years, which is how I've got my way with them, because I don't have time for their petty little bullshit. Those guys, man, I feel bad for them. I wish everyone had the stuff I had on them with some of the stuff, some of the Cena stuff and the Alex Riley stuff and Jane Geddes, that dumb bitch. Like, and I say that. She's a dumb bitch, and I'll never. I try every day to let go of stuff, and I've been successful at other things. But man, they're just petty motherfuckers, and you got to play their own game sometimes. It's the only way to fucking beat them. Otherwise, they'll run all over you. So it sucks for those guys. Because what they're going to do is tie it up and prevent them from doing things with it. And it's just why they're not there anymore. Those trademarks have nothing to do with WWE.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it all the way around. And that comes from Vince and that bully culture and him hiring all those people around him. I get hot over it when I talk about it. It's just it's a horrible environment and horrible people.
Yeah. Well, that about does it for this week. Next week, we got Money in the Bank coming up. We got two pay-per-views this month. It looks like fans might be starting to be back loud in a measured way. So big month coming up ahead.
Good deal, Raj. Thank you, as always. Always, always enjoy doing this. Anything you want to go ahead to plug to wrap up?
Yeah, keep checking out WrestlingInc.com. Tons of news. It's been super, just super crazy. And tons of interviews, too. We got exclusive interviews with Lillian Garcia, Jon Moxley, The Godfather, Damien Sandow, Allison Munn, who co-stars with The Big Show on Netflix's The Big Show, Ethan Page, and Willie Mack, tons of others. So keep checking out WrestlingInc.com.
Good deal, Rush. Thank you very much, as always. And thank you guys for listening. You've just listened to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed me more. Thank you guys very much for listening to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report with myself and Raj Geary. Check out WrestlingInc.com for the latest in news in professional wrestling. And Feed Me More Nutrition, my all-natural supplement line, available on FeedMeMore.com. Just for listening to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report, we're going to give you 20% off with the discount code SHOOTING20 at checkout. Just use code SHOOTING20 on FeedMeMore.com to save 20%. Get hungry. Stay hungry. Feed me more.
Feed me more.
May you rest in peace.
Awesome!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hulkamania is running wild!
Yeah. I said give me a hell yeah!
Ha ha! Woo! Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report!